Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Committee of the Whole meeting for July 11, 2017. Our call to order, opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Does anyone have mics on? I can't hear anybody.
Mics are on for the recording. That doesn't necessarily mean that it will amplify the noise.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore. Mrs. Garrett Muley. Mr. Hobbiter. Mr. Lafredo. Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Warren.
Here.
Carrie. Sorry.
Our mission statement, Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Before I read our statement to the public, knowing that people in the audience have an interest in one certain part of the meeting, just to update everyone, in the search for our band director and music teacher. No decision will be made tonight as far as the band director goes. The initial interviews were conducted, and we are working through the interview process, and we hope to have an appointment ready for the next meeting, which will be July 18th. But no action will be taken on the band director tonight. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience, the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by a unanimous vote. Before matters placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. For next week, we will have a motion to accept minutes from the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of June 13th. We will possibly have a student board representative report. And that brings us to our number 8 on the agenda, presentations. I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun for the presentation.
Thank you. I want to welcome Mr. Richard Reed, one of our assistant principals at the high school, who also serves as our energy specialist. He's going to focus on an update for our energy savings program. And I believe you have a PowerPoint.
Yes.
So may I ask the board to please move to a location where you can see the PowerPoint.
Energy waste through building a culture of concern for that, auditing buildings, monitoring, tracking our usage and the equipment and make sure that it's operating effectively. And then the third goal is to save money. All right, many people see this as our primary goal, and while it's certainly important, it's definitely not, it's not the primary goal, but if we're successful in the first and second one, then the savings will ultimately follow from the additional contingency that we have. We are managing our energy resource usage, eliminating waste, cost savings are going to follow. Additional savings can be found through auditing the bills for mistakes, participating in rebate programs, looking at participating in the grant process, which we've been successful at as we move forward. Reducing our electrical and gas demand costs, which is oftentimes the biggest part of our bill because they look at your usage at the peak time, and then they bill you every month for that peak usage. We've been able to drop that by a half. That monthly drop that charge that we don't even have any control over, that they hit you with every month, no matter how much you use, that goes on your bill. We've cut that in half. So just by monitoring, because they typically measure that at peak times, and oftentimes the peak usage time during the building is on the office, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when everybody's using their air conditioner. We're working on not doing that. Buildings unoccupied, we can save ourselves a significant amount of cost. All right? But for the program ultimately to be successful over time, we have to change long-standing habits that people have to create a climate of conservation, which is a far greater challenge than simply just turning off the lights and computers. All right, a little bit about what I do. I perform 15 to 25 audits per week. Sometimes more, depending on the time. I'm here at 5 o'clock in the morning, almost every morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, other days, just going through the buildings, listening for fans, looking for units, opportunities to say, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, those fans should be out there, and getting them turned off, giving us hours of savings. We use the audits because they provide us with a tremendous amount of feedback about the operation of the equipment. Synergistic is fantastic. They provide us with tremendous training. They have on-site visits with data specialists, engineers, HVAC specialists that we can question and use their resources. We have remote energy management visits. There's a national training conference. There are the access to professional services and then the semi-annual virtual training that we do online. And they move towards that, which is a savings both to them and us. There used to be two national conferences that we traveled to, and now it's just one. So with Matt Hudson coming on board, we're both working to develop data-driven responses to concerns that we get in the building. We're using data loggers that give us good information so we can make accurate changes to the process. Typically, in the past, it would just be immediate changes, sometimes 3 and 4 a day, to the same classroom, which ultimately caused problems with the management of the moisture, the temperature, everything in the building. So we're reducing that operation. We set annual goals. Last year, we focused on increasing the performance of the high school. The elementary school was performing at 33% savings, and the high school was lagging at about 24%, but now the difference is the high school is manual. Everything gets turned on and off by hand. So we set putting that effort together, and we've raised it. We're approaching in the last year 30% of the high school, so we've raised it almost 25% improvement in what we've done here. While the elementary school has maintained their level without reducing that. We meet monthly with Matt talking about the data that we get and talk about how we can use it to make adjustments and improve what we're doing, improve our performance, improve our operations that we do during the course of the day. So it's a constant effort to stay on top of where we are. All right, from a measurement standpoint, we keep score. The data is entered directly by me. We use a third-party EnergyCap software that analyzes the data for us. It's based on international protocols, and it provides us with monthly meetings with a synergistic energy data specialist that we meet on the phone on a monthly basis, review all our bills, usage, unit costs, and analyze that for any fluctuations in it and see where we can make adjustments to get those back in line or see where we're making improvements and continue those. Okay. Now, this is what everybody typically wants to know about. What are you doing? Our performance savings. Now, there's cost avoidance. Just a little bit about cost avoidance. Cost avoidance is calculated by synergistic and energy data, not on a budgetary basis, but on a behavioral basis. And they take 2 years of a baseline, and then they calculate your savings, your cost avoidance, based on what you would have done had you continued to operate that way versus the change in behavior that you're implementing into the district. Okay, so we talk about, they don't necessarily equate to total dollar budgetary savings. All right, but we've saved at 28.3%. They were shooting for 20%. We joined them. All right, so we're 28.3%, $378,423 in just under 2.5 years. All right, our expenses today have been $187,000. Those are real budget dollars, right? So our net cost avoidance is $190,000. So 2.5 years. In the last fiscal year of savings, we've improved that, right? Our gross cost avoidance in the last fiscal year from July through June of this year, $175,542 minus the annual expenses there. So we've had a net cost avoidance of $96,826. It's been a really good year, a lot of work and effort into it. And a lot of that comes from the improvement we've made in high school. And from an environmental standpoint, because this is really the academic part of it, all right, we've worked with the Environmental Club. They've been involved with Power Safe Schools and developed programs on calculating energy use in the building, in the classrooms, coming up with ideas of how we can save and work. So we're working with them. But what our results is that we've saved over 1.5 million kilowatt hours of electricity and 108,000 therms of natural gas. Equating that to be 954 metric tons of CO2 not produced. Taking 199 automobiles off the road for a whole year, all the exhaust from them. Or planting 24,000 trees for a 10-year period of time. All right, so from an environmental standpoint, I mean, we can show that in our environmental club and science classes, and that means that's a significant benefit. Never mind the dollar savings, but from an environmental standpoint. So we're working on both ends of that as well from an education standpoint. Okay, and just to say thank you to a couple of people, school board, for putting this in place. I got to say, we are the model program for Synergistic. They had moved away from schools of our size joining the program, and they've now, as a result of the success we've had, created a whole new program that they're going to work with around the country. They've gone to hiring. We're just joining with countywide schools, places with 210 buildings, huge countywide schools in the South, Virginia, and Texas. And now they're moving back to our model because we've been so successful. So it's great that it's on board. The community for supporting us. Matt Hudson and his staff have been phenomenal. Right, we have some old equipment. Referendum's going to take care of a lot of that. The elementary side of the controls, and they've worked real hard to keep up on making sure things are off at night and on in the morning and when they're supposed to be. All right, to Tom Glenn and all the environmental leaders, they put a lot of effort into working with the kids and bringing this program. They worked directly with that Power Safe Schools and the grant that we ended up getting for lighting in, I can't remember which one it was, the RG? Or the elementary school too. I know they were involved in helping to calculate those costs and say they were
elementary
program as well. I don't remember which gym it was.
Elementary
is first, and then here. Okay. All right. So they've worked on, they actually go from classroom to classroom and calculate the square footage and how many watts are being used and some come up with ideas of how we can go about saving some money. And then the principals and staff are coordinating the efforts. And that's an ongoing thing. We have to continue to educate and continue to implement the district Board of Education guidelines and continue to get compliance with those, and we'll continue to see the efforts grow. I think our goals for the next couple of years are to get the referendum in place and learn how to work with the new control system. We want to continue to educate the staff and work on creating more comfortable environments, understanding how the science of how it works. I've learned a lot about the finance community. The science of the whole thing is fantastic, how you can make it work. Just getting people to believe that if you actually raise the temperature a little bit, they'll feel more comfortable. Then they will, if it's not, then it's lower. That's a hard thing to do. All right, so thank you very much. Unless I have any questions, yes?
I have one. On the one you talked about, the staff, when you said with the new equipment, will we see more substantial improvements after that new equipment, or will only be marginal? Like, are you expecting like it to be a gigantic when the new heating and cooling stuff is in? Will that make a significant impact, or will it just be minimal?
Well, I don't know how it will translate into savings. Okay. I think it'll create a significant impact in the operation of the machinery. It's still going to be on 8 hours a day, so many hours a day.
But I meant because it would be more efficient and more...
I would anticipate that it's going to contribute to the savings. Yeah, I can't speak to what that's going to be.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Anything else? All right, thank you.
I know.
When they kick on them, you really can't hear.
In a follow-up to that presentation, I would just like to ask our business administrator how that cost avoidance translates into actual dollars, and how the energy savings will materialize into more benefits for the school district through our general budget.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So as Mr. Reed mentioned, cost avoidance and actual budgetary expenditures are two different things. So I'd just like to briefly go back to the 11-12 school year, which was six school years ago. The total expenses for our utilities that year was over $576,000. Since this program has come to be in place for the last 2.5 years, we've averaged for the last 3 years just over $400,000 in utility expenses. So you can see the difference between $576,000 and on average $400,000. That's the difference this program has put into place with what the district has to actually pay for the expenses. Now moving forward into the 17-18 school year, we have approximately $510,000 in the budget to pay for electric and gas. As we just heard from Mr. Reed, the program costs approximately $80,000 to run. So that leaves us about $430,000 left in the budget to pay for the gas and electric. So if on average we're spending $400,000 a year, we have sufficient funds in the line item, and we even have a little buffer in the event that we have a very severe summer for the cooling season or a very severe winter for the heating season. And if we don't use those funds can be utilized for another program, in the district as we go through the school year. Now, this past school year, we were able to take some of the savings since the expenses were around $400,000. And I picked two just to give you an example. Mr. Reed mentioned the fact that we got a grant for the LED lights in the elementary school, which we did. And this program helped free up money that we didn't have to spend on utilities, and we were able to partner with the high school alumni and endowment, and we were able to install LED lights in the high school gymnasium. So those are the kind of things that we could, projects that we can accomplish. If we're not spending the money on utilities, we can spend it making improvements in the school. The other thing that came to mind was with the sod that's been installed last summer, or over the last two summers actually on both sides of the streets, we were able to buy a zero-turn mower for the facilities department to help maintain that sod. And that might not sound like much, but those mowers are very expensive, and we were not able to budget for that mower in our general fund budget. So when monies became available, again, from not having to spend the money on utility bills, we were able to buy that piece of equipment. So the
concrete example of our savings is a mower that we purchased for the grounds crew.
Yes, and also the LED lights for the high school. And there are other, perfect, you know, other things along the way that we were able to do. Those are just two examples that came right to my mind.
Perfect, and that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. A concrete example of our savings.
Great.
Questions? Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That ends our presentations for this evening.
If we can move on to the Committee of the Whole discussion items, I'll turn it right back over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. I'd like to focus on education, curriculum, and technology. And our point of reference, I'd like to look at the advanced placement courses for 2017 and 18. We just recently got our results, and they are being aggregated as we speak in regards to comparing those in a longitudinal study to the last 5 years to see exactly where we stand. And one of the reasons for that was a curriculum revision that was brought to me, and I brought it to our director of curriculum at the end of this year as the schedule was being built. And I said no to this curriculum revision because we have a policy that has to be followed. We have to go through the process, and that's at least an 8-month process. That curriculum revision came from the building principal, who I'm going to ask at the next board meeting to focus on. And it was a focus on our AP science classes, which currently are full year, and making them alternate days instead of full year. Now, that has to go through a process of speaking with the department, of speaking with the director of curriculum, and actually aggregating the data we got back. The reason for that was to afford the students an opportunity to take more advanced placement classes. One of the things we did this year is we increased our AP offerings by 3 courses. Next year, our goal is to increase it by 2 more courses, to afford students the opportunity to go into as many AP classes that they would like. In order to do that, we have to focus on scheduling. And this was one way that the building principal and the dean of students felt it would be practical for us to look at affording them another class, them being the students. However, to do that, our instructional pedagogy should change because we're going to have less minutes in a classroom. So that has to be studied. And there are several schools out there that are notable that do that. So we are going to go to those schools, find out how they made these adjustments. Their AP scores have remained consistent even with these adjustments, because to a rational human being, it seems like more time with a good teacher going to give you better results. So what's the trade-off of taking that time away? And that's what we have to study. So the board will be getting a presentation after we aggregate the scores for the last 5 years on where we stand with our AP classes. I don't know if you want to weigh in on this, Barbara, wait till you give your presentation to the board, but in just taking a cursory view of that, I'm happy with our scores, but I think we can do better. So.
Yes, right now, as you, as Dr. Cajun mentioned, we're trying to afford the students as much opportunity to take the classes. That was the impetus for the principal to investigate changing from a whole year to alternate days. The question then becomes, can the content effectively be transmitted and students learn it in a shortened amount of time? He did look at some other schools to see how they did and found that they could. So that's something that not only do we have to look at the data, but we have to see how our students do and how our time frames work and our constrictions and all. And I think we also have to determine whether we feel our scores are where we want them to be, and weigh that with opportunity versus high scores. College Board encourages all schools to open their courses up to all students of all abilities to take AP classes. That's one aspect of looking at advanced placement, opportunity for all. And College Board recognizes when you do that, your scores, there'll be a greater range of scores than if just your highest achieving students take it. So all our students who have come back from college do say that no matter what they scored on the AP test, those courses were so effective in preparing them for college. So there's an advantage of providing opportunity for all, but there could be a trade-off. And how can we minimize that trade-off and still get quality achievement, help our students achieve their very best while affording everyone the opportunity? And I think that is a scheduling issue that we need to look at.
And the other aspect of it is when to have these semester classes. Some of our AP classes are in fall, some are in the spring semester. The test is given in the spring semester. So either there's going to be a gap in when they had the class, or there's going to be a period of time when material isn't covered because that class is given in the spring semester. Have I got that correct, Barbara?
Right. We're giving all the AP classes that are just half a year will be offered in the fall so that we can help them prepare during an enrichment period to be prepared for the test. If you do the classes in the spring, you're cut short with vacations, and the tests begin May 2nd. So there's only one course that will run, that's half a year that will run in the spring. That's because they need a course before it. So it'll take the prerequisite course in the fall and go right into AP in the spring. So it's almost like a whole year.
And that particular memo that the principal gave me, I've given to the board. So you'll see that memo and you'll digest it before we meet on the 18th so we can further discuss this. Personally, I think it's advantageous to the student to take the AP semester classes in the fall. I think it's advantageous to afford students more time in the classroom, not less. However, I'm open for the discussion. If other schools are doing it successfully, I think a lot of our staff, I think our staff does a wonderful job. And if pedagogy has to change, I think we have the technology to do that, and I think we can be successful. So I want to give the building principal the opportunity to explain this to us. But it's going to take some studying and over the course of next year. So we're looking to next September if we do make a change, but it'll be one made at the board level, not at the individual, the building level. You will vote on this curriculum revision. Okay? Thanks, Mark. Also, we had two policies that you've gotten, bed bugs and district sustainability policy. There were no questions at our last meeting about this. I didn't receive any over the week, so I feel that there aren't any questions about it. Good, because I don't want to talk about bed bugs. Nice. Finance, the annual audit commences on August 14th. And Lynn, would you like to say anything about the annual audit? And since you're on that, you want to say anything about the other audit? We want to wait till that's done.
I think maybe when that is finished.
Okay.
Yeah. So the annual audit does begin on August 14th. That generally is about 5 days of field work in the office, and then a few more weeks of field work outside the office, and our audit will be done somewhere in early fall, and that will be reported at a public board meeting. The junior varsity softball backstop that was approved last board meeting is scheduled for installation on July 17th. Or I should say the week of July 17th, and we expect it will be completed that same week. And the high school renovation and addition bid opening is this Thursday in the afternoon, and we expect that we could have upwards of 10 contractors bidding on that job.
And in full transparency, when I said you want to talk about the other audit is the forensic audit that we're currently conducting on our student activities funds, that they're going to take 3 weeks, they being the agency that we are, and the agency is Mike Garcia's agency.
Ford Scott and Associates.
Ford Scott and Associates are conducting the audit, and we'll have results hopefully within 3 weeks about that. Thank you, Lynn. Building and grounds and facilities, the junior varsity softball backstop installation has been done, and Lynn spoke about the high school renovation addition bid opening on July 13th already. Correct?
Yes.
Good. Well, that concludes my report. Do you have anything else, Lynn? Any questions? Got nothing?
All right. Next week, obviously, we will have a superintendent's report and information items. And that brings us to our first public forum this evening on agenda items only. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time or recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer, give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Would anyone from the public like to be heard? Seeing no one. Next week, we'll be asking for motions for items, Manasquan items, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 12 through 31 would be the Manasquan items. Does anyone have any questions on items 12 through 31? Are there any explanations needed? Brings us to item 32 this evening. This, there'll be action taken. So do we have a motion for number 32 to recommend approval and acceptance of the request for a quotation from Tricom Services Corporation in the amount of $24,200 for the rerouting of the fiber optic line serving Manasquan High School. This work is necessary prior to the beginning of the high school portion of the referendum project, prior to beginning work on the high school portion of the referendum project. This RFQ has been reviewed and approved by the board's solicitor. Do we have a motion for number 32?
Mr. Place asked me to read something about that.
Well, by all means, go ahead.
Okay. I cannot answer any questions, although he gave me permission to do so. He said the fiber cable connecting the elementary school to the high school is being rerouted, and the fiber cable from the Board of Education to the high school is also being replaced. The work was necessary because currently both of these cables run through the 1962 section of the high school that will soon be being demolished with the new construction. This work will be completed as soon as possible and will be scheduled so as to minimize the downtime to the elementary school and the Board of Education.
Thank you, Ms. Kransky. Do we have a motion for number 32?
Thank you.
Well, let's be a motion first. Yes. Donna? Ms. Pisoma? Second?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Do we have any questions?
I do.
Go ahead.
I just had a question. Was
this? Okay. Does Lynn, can Lynn hear you?
Can you hear me, Lynn?
No, we cannot hear you at this end of the table.
Go ahead. Just, don't worry about the microphone.
Oh, okay. I just had a question. Was this originally part of the referendum?
This is a service. This is something that needs to be done because of the referendum, but it is going to be paid for through referendum funds. Through
it,
what?
It is
through
part of
referendum funds.
It is part. Yes.
It just so needs to be done first.
Right. So it'll be paid through the referendum. Oh,
yes.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just because of the timing of
right, because we need it done before.
They need,
yes.
Got to have it to open mm-hmm. school. Any other questions? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassam. Mrs. Bassam.
Oh yes, I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. We will also be asking for motions for numbers 33 through 49 in the Manasquan Sending District items. Does anyone have any questions on those Sending District items?
Explain
35. 35?
Yeah.
35. Yes, number 35 is an agreement that we have with Point Pleasant where we co-op certain sports with them to increase the enrollment in those sports, and they pay us a fee every year to do that. Any other questions? Great. That brings us to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business that they would like to bring? Yes.
Do we have an update on the International Baccalaureate program?
Excellent question for Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. In regards to the International Baccalaureate program, our goal is to, and I'm going to turn this over to Barbara in a second, is to start it in the elementary school first, and it will take 2 years to reach the high school. But what we need is a financial commitment from the board. Through the recommendations that Barbara made at our last meeting, there's a cost associated with training the staff, as well as purchasing the curriculum to move forward. And that would be something that would be yearly. And Barbara, from my best recollection, the cost of the International Baccalaureate was?
I'm pulling it up right now.
And I want to thank you for bringing that forward, Ted, because I think this is something I would like to have approved sooner than later, or at least have the discussion for it. It's going to take us a year at least of planning, so we can hopefully a year from September start it at the elementary division. To do it correctly, and it could require some staff as well. And I've sort of treaded water for you, Barbara, to come up
okay,
with the
cost. Okay, I got it. Okay. There are several steps to the program. First, it's an application process, getting teachers trained, getting a coordinator trained, getting teachers trained, and there's a fee connected with each step. So over the process, which is a two to five year process before you become an international school, for the high school, it would be approximately a total of $24,000, for the middle school, $23,000, and the lower level, $21,000. So, but that's not an annual fee. It's broken up according to each step.
And in addition to the one time, I understand that there's an annual fee. But
Yes, there is also an annual fee.
I was just curious if there were any kind of updates.
Right. We looked at all the different steps, and then we're going to come up with a plan to start it at the elementary school first.
Great.
And then transition it over to the high school.
Wasn't the yearly fee only like $2,500?
Yeah,
because I asked if it was $24,000.
Right. I don't have that paper with me.
I think you said it was like $2,200 or $2,500 a year once we get all that initial
done. Yeah, it's
not
much money.
And the major cost is the professional development of the staff.
Right.
And they hold these summer sessions in different parts of the country. And you don't have a choice. Whether they are, you have to send your staff to. I mean, they're very rigorous in regards to the curriculum that they have and following their processes and procedures to be considered an international baccalaureate school.
Okay. They will also send their staff here to evaluate our staff as we're teaching and running the program, and will critique us and give us suggestions to make it more productive.
Yeah. Wonderful. I have in my notes of the 13th, I have an annual fee of $11,000. I don't know if that's still...
I don't have the breakdown that I handed out handy right now. I just have the overall. But
can
I'll be happy to
notes,
get more information
sure.
to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Now, not knowing how, obviously all these costs are not going to be at once. So
right.
The commitment that Dr. Cajun is seeking from the board would be a commitment for starting in, does the training start in September, the year before we actually have the program?
Yes.
But it would just be on the elementary school side? Are those initial costs just going to be incurred by the elementary school side?
Right. If we're going to start with the elementary school, yes.
Okay.
And as you go through each
So the upfront
step,
commitment from the board would be somewhere in the $25,000 range.
Right.
And the other question I have is, if we started at the elementary school side and that it's going to move to the high school side over a two-year period, will the sending district students be at a disadvantage coming from a sending district elementary school that doesn't have international baccalaureate?
No.
Or does everybody start on the same page when they get to ninth grade?
The students select a particular program. They have to take courses in particular areas, the arts, literacy, mathematics, and so forth. And
so it's not a continuation from eighth grade to ninth grade?
No, okay. No. They select and create their own program as they go through. And by achieving all these and taking a test at the end, in certain respects, it's very similar to the advanced placement test or program. They would take the test and then, you know, earn an international diploma.
Which is highly respected, and that's the value added to me in comparison to the AP classes. I mean, it's very possible to have a year of university waived because you're an international baccalaureate graduate. I mean, even the diploma is different.
But
they have to pass the test at the end.
Right.
That's why we have to follow their curriculum with their teachers, our teachers who've been trained by them.
So what is the benefit of having it start in the elementary school? Why wouldn't we start it in the high school? If the sending districts are not going to have a disadvantage, then why are we starting it in the elementary school? Why don't we just go ahead and start it in the high school, where it's going to be most important?
Sending districts aren't going to have a disadvantage or an advantage. However, our students, if we decide to start it in the elementary school, will have an advantage.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
okay.
The rigor of the curriculum, they'll have already experienced. So like any good minor league program, they're going to be ready to step up to the plate and be successful.
So then it would be in the sending district's best interest to start it there also.
Now, let's take the paradigm a little further. Let's ask this question. What if there were some parents in sending districts that felt they wanted to join the program that we've already started? Why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we as a board decide that there's X amount of seats there, and if parents really want to be involved, at a minimal cost, I'm not saying a tuition payment or anything like that, we would decide, because there are children anyway, let's open it up to them.
So then these classes aren't during the actual...
And instead of going to...
say Spring Lake Heights.
Spring Lake Heights, they would come here...
For the full day.
For the full day.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I think that's a win for everyone. Mm-hmm. But let's experience it first, and let's everybody say, this is the kind of rigor we really want mm-hmm. for some students. Now, I'm not saying for 10%.
Right.
It might be 10 students.
Yeah.
But they have every right to experience that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions? Any other old or new business? Seeing none, that brings us to our second public forum on any items, agenda, or otherwise. Would anyone from the public like to be heard?
Speak into it closely.
Hello.
There you go. I heard you. Yeah.
Okay.
Now speak into it closely so we get it.
Hello. My name is Neve Mather. I'm part of the color guard in the band, and I just want to say I love it so much. You spend a lot of time practicing when you're in band, and having someone like Mr. Buckle as a director really shows you how much of an impact a teacher has on students' lives. If you're going to be spending countless hours in class, you should have a great teacher, and we found one. But I'm terrified that he might be taken away from the band. Mr. Buckle has inspired me so much, and during the last month of school, I started learning an instrument. I look at myself and sometimes think, I'm way too old to start learning an instrument now. What was I thinking? Mr. Buckle didn't tell me no or hold any doubt in my ability. As frustrated as I would get when I practiced during study hall, Mr. Buckle never got upset or frustrated. Instead, he kept encouraging me. He kept me on track, and I'm so thankful for that. I might not be great or even good, but it makes me happy to learn. This whole situation has been going on for so long now, and I didn't think I would have enough energy to keep fighting. But I discovered something about myself. I discovered that if there is something important enough to fight for, I will keep pushing myself and pushing myself to fight until I'm satisfied with the result. And I feel like Mr. Buckle is important enough to keep fighting for it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We're just going to ask that, as in the what I said earlier, that if you're going to repeat, we want, if you have original thoughts and ideas that you want to express, that's great, but we can't have the repetitive same statement being made over and over again. So if you think that somebody else already stated what you were going to state, please just state something new or something different, but not the same. I'm not trying to, just giving everyone an idea of how we're going to proceed.
Well, I actually want to start out by thanking all of you for, I actually want to start out by thanking all of you for being so gracious and tolerant with us, like from speaking at the first meeting we all attended. Like, obviously our stance at this point is really clear. So yeah, hopefully we're not too repetitive, but we're going to work on that. So I want to start by touching on my personal experiences with Mr. Buckle, as I did not do so last time. So during the football season, it's no understatement to say that we literally all loved him. He was an amazing asset to the band as he worked extremely closely with our brass section, and he improved them so much. And he also arranged a bunch of new songs that we played in the stands at football games, which we all enjoyed so much, especially All the Lights, which was both a crowd, band, and cheerleading favorite. It was even on the band page in the yearbook. And later in the year, Mr. Buckle obviously did nothing short of step up. He was honest with us. He was also encouraging, approachable, and humorous all at the same time. He's able to engage and inspire students of all musical levels in our band. And honestly, I get somewhat emotional thinking about the extreme connection every single student in the band has with Mr. Buckle. I think that it's very clear based on the amount of support he has received from both us and the community. That's so clear. Students who already enjoyed band and students who did not both began to enjoy it at such a higher level than they already had. He made the band room a safe space. He made it clear to us that no matter what the issue was, it would always be a place where we could be safe, accepted, and known. To continue, although many of you did not attend our spring concert, you should know it was nothing short of breathtaking. We were given a standing ovation. An upperclassman who I talked to said that without a doubt, it was the best concert they've ever played at Manasquan High School. So this was thanks to Mr. Buckle, his night rehearsals, and his amazing passion for teaching and music. I also want to touch on drum major auditions, because if it wasn't for Mr. Buckle, I would not have been able to achieve a huge goal of mine this year, which was to be an officer in the band. When it came time for drum major auditions, Mr. Buckle held after school practices, which was new, for those who wanted to try out. He had mentioned it in class before that freshmen could try out, but I figured he might have just said it to be nice, so I didn't attend the practice that day after school. The next day in class, he pulled me aside and he asked if I'd considered trying out. I pretty much told him that it has been a dream of mine forever, but I wasn't going to go for it my sophomore year. He then encouraged me to try out and said that even if I didn't get it, it would be an amazing experience and I would have a great edge for the next year. So after he pushed me, I went for it. I went to all of the after-school practices where he taught us the ins and outs of conducting, marching, command calling, and all-around leadership. After he received the scores from our auditions, he informed us of something amazing. Even those who received the lowest scores from Manasquan High School had beat higher scores than those, sorry. Even those who received the lowest scores from Manasquan High School had higher scores than those who actually got drum major at other schools. And I thought this was pretty amazing too. I actually got field captain. He pulled all of us individually into his office about our scores, and I thanked him for pushing me to try out. He took no responsibility for this and claimed that he only pushed me because he had overheard me talking about how I wanted to do it but was planning on waiting. Although he might not admit it, Mr. Buckle is really the reason that I was able to achieve this goal of mine at such a young age, and I know that I'm ready for the responsibilities that come with it, thanks to everything that he's taught me so far. So really, I need all of you up here to understand that right now, you hold so many students' futures in your hands. As you know, Mr. Buckle attended Manasquan High School, then attended Berklee College of Music. He was on the dean's list there and went on to play with world-renowned jump corps groups such as the Blue Devils and other very prestigious bands. For someone like myself, who as of now is seriously considering following a path similar to the one Mr. Buckle took, who is there better to be my teacher? This doesn't only include those who are interested in music, but also those who have different priorities. Mr. Buckle has inspired those who want careers in music, those who simply just enjoy music, those who are normally afraid to play but did while under his direction, those who need an inclusive and accepting group in their lives, and those who might not have even previously liked or had an interest in music but now have such a higher appreciation for it. Mr. Buckle has been able to touch every single level of musician in not only our band, but in our entire school. Please know that you truly do hold the futures of limitless students in your hands. There is a correct decision to be made, and I trust that you will make it. I want to close by reading the Board of Education mission statement for yet one more time tonight. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. In accordance with your mission statement, hire Mr. Buckle, empower your students, provide us with a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment that he offers and provides. Allow the band to continually grow and persevere. Provide us with the rigorous music education he can provide us with. Make band an extensive extracurricular activity. And lastly, and most importantly, do what's best for the students. And I think what that decision is very clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Delaney Heffernan, and I'm now going to be a senior. First, I would like to thank you all for allowing us to speak yet again. I know this must be truly exhausting at this point. I'd also like to apologize for how derailed the May 23rd meeting became, and also like to apologize for how repetitive we must be getting. You've probably heard all about Mr. Buckle's inspirational attitude in Berklee education a million times at this point. I was one of those people to mention these aspects. However, I stand before you today with personal experience. I was recently selected to be drum major, aka the Eamon Metronome, aka the student leader of the Manasquan High School Warrior Marching Band. First, I'd like to say that I only got this position because of how much Mr. Buckle prepared me for the audition. As Jenna mentioned earlier, even the lowest scoring people from our school still scored higher than the highest scores of any other school, which is absolutely amazing, only because of how much he prepared us. He was always available to help me and wasn't afraid to tell me his honest opinion, whether it be on my conducting or commanding skills. Due to this appointment of position, I had the honor of attending the George N. Parks Drum Major Academy in Kutztown, Pennsylvania this past weekend. I found that myself and my second in command, Jenna Thomas, knew the majority of the Academy's curricular material well, because of our preparations for the drum major trials with Mr. Buckle. That's beside the point. During our first session, we learned a poem of sorts, for lack of a better word, to assess how we look when we stand in our at attention poses. How are your feet? Together. Stomach? In. Chest? Out. Shoulders? Back. Elbows? Frozen. Chin? Up. Eyes? With pride. We repeated the eyes part, and we were encouraged to say with pride as enthusiastically as possible. All of the fellow drum majors in training had this glimmer of sheer dignity and honor. At first, I had to look deep inside myself for my own sense of pride. We are a school of pride. We show it when we boast about our academic rankings in the fan sections at sports events. We show it when the band plays the iconic chop and everyone does the motion and sings along. Representing not only our band, but our entire school, I'm determined to display this pride as best as I can to show what Manasquan is all about. I'm going to be the one saluting the audiences, the one standing atop a podium for all to see while conducting our own school song, the one who will don the warrior costume during the homecoming parade. Pride is vital in my position. And then it clicked. I did not feel pride when I took bows as the many leads I've played on the stage you currently sit on. I did not feel pride when I got a 5 on my AP comp test. I didn't even feel pride when I was elected president of our symphonic choir. I felt absolutely elated and honored, don't get me wrong, but not pride because I had already been excelling at those things. But I felt pride when we played better than ever, but still scored 5th in the Wildwood Parade this year. I felt pride when I was elected drum major, even though so many people didn't want me to get the position. I felt pride when I conducted a song for band the first time in class as drum major, and I did absolutely awful, and I missed the cutoff. When I went to the Drum Major Academy and told people about our band and how much we've done, even though we were among the smallest bands there and the only one without a field show, because those were things I'd worked for. When I joined the band, I was awful. Like, I was missing cues, we don't even have cymbal sheet music, so I didn't know what to do. And yes, the previous director did help me definitely grow as a musician, and he also helped my confidence grow too, which eventually led to me trying out for drum major. But all the work that I've done with Mr. Buckle in the few months that he was there really helped me push myself to become these things. And I'm not the only one who's going to need that pride. Next year, then the years after, there's always going to be another drum major who's going to need to show that pride. And I think that it's very clear what teacher has pushed us to get that pride, because that is what Manasquan is all about. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That brings us to our executive session. Whereas Senator Byron M. Barrett, Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides Manasquan Board of Education to hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the 9 subject matters listed in 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number 8, personnel matters involving hirings and resignations. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session tonight. Do we have a motion for executive session?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Stone, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Red folders, please. Do we have a motion to reconvene regular session?
Yes.
Second. So, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Brings us to item 53, the Manasquan personnel. Recommend approval of the July 11th, 2017 elementary school personnel as per document A. Do we have a motion for that? Mr. Warren, thank you. Second. Mr. Serena, any questions on document A? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serena.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
Brings us to number 54, the Manasquan Senate District personnel. We recommend approval of the July 11, 2017 high school personnel as per document I or 1?
One.
One. Do we have a motion for document 1? Ms. Bassone, second. Mr. Warren, any questions? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry. Second. Mr. Sloan, all those in favor? Everybody else can stay.